You're listening to Hartery Humble.
Welcome on in, everybody, to episode 4 of the Hard to Be Humble podcast with your host, the humblest man on earth, Tommy Stickle. Thank you so much for joining us today. We got a great show for you. We've got football coming up on Saturday. Man, it's a great time to be alive. On today's show, I'm going to kick it off with the phone call with Chad. We're going to talk a little of the Beanie Bowl last Saturday. Chad was actually in attendance to that game. We're also going to do a new ongoing segment there with Chad, and we're going to go over some money lines that Chad, just from his heart, from his gut, creates on the spot. I'm going to ask him some random games and just see what he has, and I think this will be kind of a fun ongoing segment for us throughout the year. Also have a segment after that about the 5 kind of strangest hog fans that I've begun seeing out in Razorback Nation in the wild. We'll then move on to just some Arkansas news. There's not a lot there, but also some news in the SEC. I'll have a segment on cord cutting, believe it or not. I've actually gone through some different services there and give some opinions and recommendations there if you are considering that for your football watching needs. And finally, as is typical, we've got the famous Arkansan of the Week segment. Got an interesting one there for you later in the show. We will not have the segment Razorback X's and O's that we debuted last week because there's really not anything new that Rucking Boyd or Matteo Soli have done. You know, it's just pretty much exactly what you thought. I'm not going to do any kind of segment on Portland State preview or predictions for any of that. You know, everybody knows the quarterback news. I don't know. I feel like most of the stuff is people talk about so much that does Portland State really matter to give a preview for? They have a good tight end, if you don't know. That's about it. Like, that's, they're an FCS team. If we don't beat them, we ought to just kill our program, to be honest. I don't think we'll do that, but you know, it's pretty much a lock. And if something wrong happens, hey, if something bad happens, just the show's over, the program's over, it's just over. So with that very warm thought in mind, very kind-hearted thing to say, we'll move on to our phone call with Chad. Enjoy.
Hello.
Hey, Chad. What's going on, man?
Tommy Stickle. I'm doing great. How are you doing?
Oh, I'm doing pretty good. Just had a big old Italian dinner. What about you?
Me and the kids, a little Chick-fil-A. It's classic.
Ironic that you brought up Chick-fil-A because there's a lot of drama going on with chicken sandwiches. Have you seen much about this?
Fascinating. Yes, I haven't tried the new Popeye's chicken sandwich yet, but it's going to be hard to be. I'm pretty biased. My kids love and actually eat at Chick-fil-A, and it's so friendly there. But you know, I'll give it a shot. But I don't know why Wendy's is bringing up like they're getting in there. But it's fascinating to me.
Does Wendy's have, like, I saw something about spicy chicken nuggets. Is that right? What's Wendy's doing?
Yes. Yeah, I think so. But no, they put their chicken sandwich out there too, I think. But I've actually never been to Popeye's before, so I need to try it. I just need to try it out.
I probably have been once, I think, during college, I think was the only time I've had it, and it was fine.
Fine?
Yeah.
I mean, it's still fast food. But the thing they're doing on Twitter is hilarious. It's perfect.
I agree. Yeah, the chicken sandwich, just there's some great videos out there. I saw one of this guy who was telling his wife about it, and he was a grown man, probably 60 years old, but he was acting like he was a four-year-old, like telling his parents about what he learned in school that day, and he was like, the pickle tastes like chicken. Anyways, it's really funny. A lot of good stuff out there. Well, hey, this past weekend, I know you went to Donald W. Reynolds Razorback Stadium and saw, I think, what they call the Beanie Bowl. So tell me about that.
The Beanie Bowl. This is the first time I've been. I took my two kids. We were excited just to see some football. I think everyone else was as well. Not a ton of fans in the stands. Most of them went to the fan day activities afterwards, which was in like the Walker Pavilion, little practice indoor facility. But we went in there and it was super refreshing just to see football being played. It was awesome. It was really cool to see. Got to see the grass. Like, these are things that football teams who are not very good in the past year, it's what we talk about. We get excited about the grass. Mm-hmm. We're excited about the jerseys, but mm-hmm. it looked good. Like, the jerseys were awesome. Like, the class, you can tell the players like them too. And it's like, okay, this is our new look. Like, the field looks great. There wasn't a hog call like during the Beanie Bowl, which is basically a practice and like situations. So they just kind of ran certain situations, but they try to simulate a few things. It was fun. It was fun just to watch football be had. There wasn't any tackling going on. Obviously, injuries for the Razorbacks before the season is something that has plagued us over the past few years. But it was fun. It was kind of cool to see the players interacting with each other. Before Ben Hicks got named the starter, it really looked like Starkle was just the guy out there. Like he ran when the first team offense got out there for the first time, Starkle led him. I don't know if that was just a coincidence, whatever else. Let him down for a touchdown. It looked good. Like he was out there talking with everybody else. Ben Hicks, he kind of didn't really see him a lot on the sideline. That may mean nothing at all, but I don't know. It was fun to watch though. But we had a good time, and the fan day afterwards in the pavilion was cool. We got to see the mascots and everything else. So it was a fun day overall, though.
Awesome, man. So yeah, that's interesting observation. I think about Hicks and Starkle, where I guess what I'm hearing is that Starkle kind of had, you know, the personality of the team guy, or almost like the team. He's the liked guy. You know, he's the fun guy. That will be really interesting to see, you know, if Ben Hicks starts not performing very well, how quickly they pull the plug on that and move to Starkle, because it just seems like he's got that magnetic personality way more than Ben Hicks. Ben Hicks, he's got the personality of, Bill Belichick is about all I can think of. It's like the most dry, I don't know, not the rah-rah guy, yeah. That's for sure.
Right. We all knew that from like the press conferences too. We all seen it, but it's interesting to see them on the sideline and kind of interacting. But I mean, I'm so tired of, we're so tired of talking about this QB deal that it's just, let's just go with the guy who's there. Like, let's just move forward. Doesn't work. We put the other guy in. It's a better problem to have than, hey, this is our only guy that we got. So
exactly.
At least we had a little backup, and Starkle's got another year. So
I honestly think the only reason that fans had such a negative thing about Ben Hicks was, one, we saw him in the spring game and it wasn't stellar, you know? So I think that was kind of a subliminal bad taste in people's mouths. Like, they hoped to have seen more, you know, if he had thrown a couple awesome bombs in that spring game, people would probably be really excited about him. But since that really didn't happen, you know, really the only great play was the Trey Knox, kind of short pass and run for the long touchdown. So I think it was just more wishful thinking than anything, but it's a 1A, 1B situation. It's not that big a deal. Either would be probably about the same, and they went with the safe option. It's fine. One other question I was going to ask you about the Beanie Bowl. So who looked good out there? Like, I always think it's fun going to games. You know, you even see them on TV, you see the players and they don't really look that big, but for some reason, when you actually see them in person, you're like, wow, this dude looks huge, or I'm shocked at how big this guy looked, or he just looks good. So who looked good out there?
Yeah, it's funny you mentioned that. Like, once you actually get out there, we actually walked to the very front row just to kind of get close to them, and they all look huge, you know, and it's crazy on the football field. Like, when you're watching on TV, they all look kind of the same size. Like, it's not really not that big, but you get down there and they're huge, outside of John Stephen Jones, who is super short, really short guy. So that's Starkle's tall and Hicks as well, but and remind me, which one is it? Which is the wide receiver that's hurt? Is it Treylon Burks? He's the one that's hurt. Is that correct?
Trey Knox.
I get him mixed up.
Trey Knox, he's the one that is sick right now, I think. And he hasn't.
Trey Knox was out. Okay.
Yeah, Treylon should have been out there. Treylon got hurt during his senior season last year. And so he might. I don't know if he still has a knee brace on. But I think he's doing returning, right?
Yeah, so Treylon was the one who looked. He looked huge out there, and especially for a true freshman. And then we saw Knox running around on the field, like while the players were, like he was in street clothes and he looked really tall and more lanky. But, Burke was he just looked huge. I think he missed, it was either him. They had the same number, but they missed a fumble to punt return. That's something you never want to see. I think we all have scars from Reggie Fish. It was good. And offensive line, perspective is really bad just because they all just look huge. I'm with my 6 and 4 year old who are extremely small, and so seeing them and then seeing these huge people, it's really cool just to see how fast they're playing and how huge they are. It's cool. So it was a fun experience.
Awesome, man. Well, I'm glad you got that opportunity. You know, getting the Arkansas fandom in your kids early is super crucial, and you know they're going to grow up loving the Hogs, so got to start them when they're young.
No doubt.
Well, let's see here. One other thing that I wanted to talk with you about today, and I want to hopefully become a relatively consistent thing throughout the football season, is I want to do Chad money lines. And in fact, I'm already thinking of like a graphic for that to call you Chad Money. And then lines, but anyways, we'll figure it out. But even if your voice isn't on the podcast, I can at least still text you, and you can at least, each week give me your lines. But basically, what I want you to do is I want you to do absolutely zero research, as little as possible about the actual lines out there. Don't look at them if you can, if you can avoid it, great. I really want you to come into these every week really blind. I mean, you can pay attention to who's winning games and news and stuff, but I want you to just give, not a Vegas line, a Chad money line. I want you to give your gut where your heart is about these games, and we'll just see. Maybe you're smarter than Vegas. I don't know.
Let me tell you this. I have a knack for things like this, and I'm glad it's being showcased now, because what you got to expect the unexpected in college football. I mean, you watch the games over Saturday. Like, who expected any of that to happen? So I feel like my gut tells me may say the unexpected. It may seem absolutely insane. I may have no clue about the line, but you just got to go with the gut. And I feel like, I think we need to track them too, to say who was right. Like, what's my record against Vegas as well? Like, who was, who made the better betting line? And I feel pretty confident I'm going to come out on top here.
I hope your gut and your heart is way better than, rooms of servers crunching numbers from all the history of football that they have to produce those lines. And I think, it will be interesting nonetheless. I'm excited about it. So I've got 5 games for you that I think are interesting. And I wrote down what is today? It's Monday. And it's Monday, August 26th. And I have 5 games. I should have the Vegas lines, at least what I see. It's from VegasInsider.com. It's the composite money line. So anyways, I got 5 games. Just tell me what you got. If you've got any reasons why, lay those out. But if not, just lay it on us. So first game.
Okay.
First game. And this one kind of is somewhat personal, because I have my in-laws are big fans of this school. So, and I think a lot of people have very strong opinions about this really good team, but we'll just see what you think. Okay. Georgia Tech at Clemson.
Georgia Tech at Clemson. Okay.
It's a Thursday night game too. I don't know.
I was going to ask that, if it's what day of the week was my first question. Next question is it neutral site or is it actually at Clemson?
Let's double check. I believe it is at Clemson.
So now some of these big marquee games have I don't know if Georgia Tech, but sometimes they have that neutral site. Okay, Thursday night at Clemson. Man, you know what? I feel like Clemson's coming off the national championship. Like, they've got a lot of momentum. They're the preseason number one for the first time ever. However, Georgia Tech loves running the option, Tommy. I think it's going to be a low-scoring game. Let me get Clemson and minus 7. Clemson in a touchdown.
Clemson.
They're going to be Clemson favored by 7 points.
Gotcha.
Yeah, minus 7, Clemson.
Okay, are you ready for me to reveal the current Vegas line for that game?
No, would you rather do minus 10. It's at home. Minus 10 is Thursday. Nice. Minus 10.
Minus 10. Okay, I got to write this down. Okay, I will reveal to you right now where the money line is currently sitting. It is Clemson minus 36.
So, oh, come on.
You are thinking this game is way tighter than Vegas is calling. And I honestly think so, too. I will say this, because I know Georgia Tech, because of my in-laws, they actually aren't going to be running the option anymore, the triple option.
No.
They got a new coach.
Not a good start.
But he's new, and you never know. And in fact, if you're paying attention to Georgia Tech, they've really changed around their recruiting, and they're doing a lot better with that. So I'm just telling you, I just know a little bit about Georgia Tech. Watch out for them. Everyone doesn't just keep your eye on Georgia Tech. I don't think they'll beat Clemson, okay, of course, but negative 10. I mean, that's some respect for Georgia Tech. So that's nice. All right.
Go
ahead.
Okay. Yeah. Well, I mean, I didn't know they weren't running the option. So let's take it to minus 12. Is it too late for that?
No, you can change it. We'll change it to negative 12.
Okay, minus 12.
All right. Minus 12.
2 points. I mean, the triple option was nasty. But okay.
All right.
All right. Lock it in.
All right, it's locked. All right, next game. Auburn versus Oregon, neutral site in Jerry World, Dallas.
Day of the week?
I believe it is on
Saturday.
Let me double check.
Okay. Auburn, they're a little bit of a QB battle, right? That was named not too long ago. Gus Malzahn, you know, I'm not sold on the guy. I'm not one of the SEC rah-rah guys either. So I'm going to say this one's going to get out of hand. I'm going to say Oregon minus 14.5. Oregon's running away with this one.
I love it. That is a good one right there. Yeah.
Gus Bus going down.
Gus Bus, yes, in flames. Yeah, apparently he named, I believe, a true freshman, Bo Nix, I think.
Yikes.
Is Auburn's QB. I mean, I think he was like a 5-star, like one of the best in the nation, but still, true freshman. The first week is always crazy. Teams aren't playing great. I don't know. You know, you could be onto something there. So Oregon minus 14.5. So the current line is Auburn minus 3.5. So again, you know, you're definitely not in line with Vegas, which is pretty fun and pretty exciting. So we'll see. All right. This one might
be. I want the credit for these.
Oh yeah, definitely. Of course. Okay. The next game, Boise State versus Florida State University, neutral site.
Okay. Where at?
Let me see.
It's important.
Where is it at? I know it's neutral site. Let me look that up.
If it's turf, it can make a big difference. I really struggled last year.
It's at TIAA Bankfield, Jacksonville, Florida. So I'm going to guess that is
sounds like grass.
Jacksonville Jaguars Stadium. That's just going to be my
gotcha.
Gut reaction. I don't know enough.
So basically a home game for Florida State. Gotcha. That's going to give them a little bit of an edge, but I mean, they really struggled last year. I'm going to go, this game's going to be tighter, but I'll say Florida State minus six. Florida State minus six. We'll go with that.
Wow. Florida State minus six.
Around the money?
You are very close. You are very close to right on the money. Right now, the composite that I am seeing is Florida State minus 5.5.
Whoa. Okay.
So your gut is in line with Vegas. I like it.
Right.
All right.
That.
Two more games. All right. This one is North Carolina versus South Carolina. Battle of the
Ooh,
Carolinas.
First game? Wow. Location.
All right. It is at Bank of America Stadium, which is Charlotte, North Carolina. So I think that is a home game.
Gotcha.
For North Carolina.
Okay. I know nothing about either team here. I know that Muschamp's still the coach, right? South Carolina. Is that accurate?
Accurate. That's got to be right. If it's not, we should be ashamed of ourselves.
That feels right.
Yeah, it does feel right.
North Carolina, I saw a headline saying that they just named a quarterback as well, even though it has no indication of how successful they're going to be. But South Carolina, you know, I've always liked Muschamp, you know, even if it's an away game. I know that's an unpopular opinion. He's got a bad rap. I'm going to go, South Carolina's going to blow this game open. Ooh. And, like, I know they don't score a lot of points. I'm saying South Carolina minus 13.
Yes. Okay. Man, you're going to get some action on these lines. I can guarantee it. People will be betting this like crazy. That's actually not that far off from the Vegas line, though, which is pretty impressive. The game also is at 2:30. Does that make a difference? I guess it's 3:30 Eastern. Does that change the line at all, knowing the exact time?
No. Okay. No, we'll keep it. We'll keep it where it's at.
All right, let's see here. The line I have is South Carolina minus 9. So you at minus 13.
Okay.
Not too far off. So
should be
interesting. We'll see. All right, final game. And I actually think this might be my favorite week one game. I don't know why necessarily. It just, to me, as an Arkansas fan, feels exciting. All right, Memphis versus Ole Miss.
Oh, man. Oh man, it is at this is a neutral site game, right?
I put versus, so that makes me think so. Let me double check real fast.
I think it is.
Next time we do this, we're gonna have this like a streamlined I am wrong. It's 11, it's 11 a.m. game, and it is at Liberty Bowl Memorial Stadium in Memphis, Tennessee. Oh. So it is a home game for Memphis, I believe.
Awesome. Okay. You know what? And this has implications for Arkansas next week. Cause like if Ole Miss loses and they're coming off a loss playing it, so that's a lot different than coming off a win. I know zero about Memphis football. I know Ole Miss is supposed to, from like what everyone says, whatever that means, supposed to have a bad year this year. So, you know, and I don't like Ole Miss. I just don't like them. I don't know who does. So I feel like Memphis is going to come out hot. I feel like Penny Hardaway is going to be in the stands too, right? He's going to take some recruits. They're going to be fired up. They're going to call the Tigers or whatever they do there in Memphis.
No one knows. I don't know either.
this may be the most stretch of a line. And I know that's saying something with the Clemson game, but I'm going to say Memphis minus 20. I'm just going to blow them out.
Minus 20.
Blow them out.
I think you might be onto something. The only thing I know of Memphis is I've forgotten his name right now, but I know that we were very much heavily wanting that guy as our next head coach. What's that? Anyways, I can't even remember his name, but he's, you know, the offensive guy. He runs a crazy offense, or really, you know, quote unquote innovative, whatever.
Yeah. But,
okay.
Obviously very memorable as well.
I can't remember his name. I'm kind of ashamed on that, but whatever. So the Vegas line right now is at Memphis -5.5. So,
Come on.
-20. That's pretty good. I mean, you're definitely, you've moved well past Vegas in some, but hey, you also nailed like the FSU game. I think South Carolina, you were pretty close as well. You know, the Oregon game, you're what, like 17, 18 kind of points different.
Yeah.
And then, let's see. Yeah, I guess the Clemson game is the one you're most off for sure. You're 24 points off the spread there. But, you know.
It's going to shock the country.
It's all good. I honestly, you know, everybody starts out a little sluggish. You know, Clemson could go by a couple touchdowns and then, you know, put their pedal off the gas or whatever, foot off the gas pedal, and Georgia Tech could get back in. I don't know. I have some respect for Georgia Tech. I know a lot of people don't, so. That's fine.
Expect the unexpected.
Well, all right, man. We will keep track of this, and it will be really funny to see, I think, and we'll just keep it up. I'll probably pick 5 games that I think are interesting. They might not even be the best 5 games that are going on each week, but I can decide which one's the most important, and we can go from there. Did I mention that Ole Miss was the only SEC team that is not favored this week?
Oh, I didn't know that.
Ole Miss, the only one.
More, and most importantly, obviously Arkansas is going to win by 100 this weekend, but I think we all know that. So just go ahead and mark that one down as well.
By 100. All right, Hawks by 100.
By 100.
Okay, I'll write that down, and we will check that with reality. Well, all right, Chad. Well, I appreciate the gut, the heart. I know you're a man of your gut and your heart. You rarely use your head on these type of sports decisions. So I respect that
very
a lot
few.
Because I'm like the opposite. I'm very, very head first with this, and you are, you know, you're the rest of the body. You represent the rest of the body on the podcast. And in fact,
right.
It's
yes.
The part of the body that's better. Let's be real.
That's right. Thanks for having me, Tom.
All right. You have a great night. Talk to you later.
Woo big.
Woo big. In this next segment, I want to talk about a recent observation that I've been gathering. It's definitely been growing in my mind, and it's just interesting. It's almost sad as well. I feel like the recent state of our athletic programs, namely the football program, has caused some really, really strong and unexpected feelings and outward expressions to come out of our fan base. And today I've compiled a list of the five most strange Hog fans I've seen in the wild lately, you know, sometimes out and about or online and social media on the web. So the first strange Hog fan that I've seen out in the wild is what I'm going to call the, quote, bring back Bobby fan. Now, this fan has been around for a while. They've been around probably since about 2012, but lately I've begun to feel their presence more and more, maybe arguably more than ever before. The colony, the population is beginning to thrive and grow. This fan loves winning more than anything else. But I really think it's just because they want to be able to go on to other fans' websites and social media and just troll them all. That's really their motivation. They just want to be that guy that gets to troll people. They typically are really big fans of Lane Kiffin, and they really love the idea of a mulligan because they need them. They can often be found, you know, look out and about in the wild at about 3 p.m. on Tuesdays at the local discount golf course. And they're normally getting in their solid 7 holes of golf, and normally they're drinking, you know, a pack of Busch Light while they're enjoying that fun. And our next fan is what I'm going to call the Arkansas State is better fan. Wow. Now, this population has tremendously boomed lately. It is really just found the necessary things it needs to just thrive in this world. And this fan wholeheartedly believes that A-State would have beaten Arkansas basically every year since 2012 to present in football. I can just hear their call right now. I hear it. It's a very distinct call. It's Arkansas is just S-C-A-R-E-D, scared. Now, you can typically find these fans up and down 49. They're typically stopped at gas stations, and they're normally inside buying Mint Skull and bottles of Mountain Dew. Now, our next fan is what I'm going to call the teacher's pet fan. Now, these fans, oh, they love this. They love defending every player and every coach's decision and are just lightning fast to tell anyone else who, you know, is one of those quote-unquote supposed fans what is right and what's the right thing to think about that decision, you know, because true fans would never say anything negative, right? Right? True fans just, no, they would only say the positive. They really love the phrase, quote, instead of us doing blank all the time, why don't we just do blank? These guys just need a little love, right? That's what these players need. They just need some love. They don't need the criticism. Now, if you're looking for these fans out in the wild, they can often be found at the Target Starbucks, and they're normally ordering their common drink or their drink of choice, the Ultra Venti Double Whipped Vanilla Bean Latte mixed with half almond, half soy milk with a sprinkle of nutmeg on top. All right, and our fourth fan, I'm going to call these fans Nirvana from the Depths of Despair and Agony fan. These fans are at total peace. They are completely and utterly numb. They have absolutely no passion anymore, not a single feeling in their body. They refuse to get excited about football. Doesn't matter. We can get 10 four-star recruits committing a day. They don't care. Disappointment has overtaken them utterly and completely. And the only thing that's going to bring them out and bring them to their former fan selves is W's. That's all that's going to matter. They laughingly predict 2-win seasons because, hey, why not? These fans can often be found in their homes, staring blankly into the corners, drinking black coffee. And finally, the last fan that I've observed, I'm going to call the Blue Skies and Rainbows fans. Now, these fans believe everything is awesome. They say things like, the hog train is coming. And boy, oh man, they love to tweet boom when any player commits to us. That's, and honestly, the lower the star, the better, because that just means they're that hidden gem in the class. They believe that Arkansas is just, you know, one player away every year from greatness. You know, we're so close every year. These fans now, they're a little bit harder to spot in the wild, but their Kool-Aid mustaches always give them away. Well, all right, folks. There you have it. The five strangest fans that I've seen out in the wild. Now, if you happen to encounter one of them, just you need to remember to do these steps, okay? You just stop in your tracks. Remember, do not make eye contact with them. I would encourage kind of breathing softly and just back away slowly. Trust me, do not talk with these fans about the Hogs. Only bad things will happen. Moving on to Arkansas news of the week, we actually haven't had a whole lot specific to Arkansas. I believe the biggest news that I can think of is that Coach Morris is implementing some new awards this year. One that stands out to me is the Dat Wood Award, which I think is a great name. You've probably all seen the picture of the baseball bat with Trey Knox, that picture with the DMAC era jerseys. But basically, it's going to be an award that each week goes to a player who had a game-changing play that week. And it'll be fun to see who gets that award. Obviously, it's inspired by the Houston Nut, Darren McFadden. Moment caught on camera after we defeated LSU where Darren McFadden brought that wood, and that's an iconic moment for most Arkansas Razorback fans. So I think it's cool that Chad Morris is kind of living, you know, diving into that and really taking hold of that tradition there. I think it's neat. I'm buying it. So that's kind of cool. We also have a Frank Broyles Award that Coach Morris gave to TJ Smith, who's a senior. Apparently, you know, they talked to the Broyles family, and it's an award. That one I don't really have as big of a grasp on. Apparently, it's just somebody that has qualities similar to Frank Broyles in some way. I don't know. I'm sure it means a lot to TJ Smith. In other news around the SEC, Mississippi State got hit with some sanctions about some wrongdoings that were going on in their program. Apparently, they had a tutor who was helping students more than they should and doing work and completing courses, all that good stuff. They've lost some scholarships due to this. They've been fined some money. They're losing some, you know, official visits and unofficial visits, a lot of different various sanctions in there. Nothing stands out too heavily. They'll be on probation for 3 years. It seems like they also might have to vacate some old wins, but let's be real, nobody cares about doing that. And this really caused, I think, the main drama, because apparently the NCAA has instituted a new way of complying with these investigations, and Mississippi State was able to use this new, speedier, easier, better way of doing it. And Mizzou, who went through this, you know, probably about what, 10, probably about 9 months ago or so, they hadn't implemented this new process yet, so theirs has been a lot more sticky and a lot more, their sanctions for a very similar violation seem to be a little bit more harsh, and they're kind of upset about that. So we'll see, you know, if there's anything substantial from that. I know that their athletic director released a statement basically whining about it, and hey, why not? Why? I guess he can. Makes him look whiny, but oh well. You know, If y'all remember, you probably saw this back, I think, in January or February of this year, but Mizzou has a postseason ban in football this year, which obviously was kind of, for them, it's terrible news, but, you know, Kelly Bryant went to Mizzou, and it seemed like that all broke kind of really close together, so, you know, Kelly Bryant will not be able to play in a bowl game, so I'm just telling y'all, folks, the game this year against Mizzou, it's gonna be a good one because Mizzou will not get a bowl game, and we're gonna be our bowl game for them that year, and for this year, and they're really gonna come after us. So I think it'll be a blast this year. I'm looking forward to that game. Probably one of the main ones I'm looking forward to this season. I know I've seen some people on Twitter, you know, on Twitter, people love to just speak their opinions and all kinds of crazy stuff. And one of the things I saw was a predominant SEC person pick a dark horse SEC team. And they actually picked Mizzou as the dark horse SEC team to win the conference. And I thought that was hilarious because I don't think that they realized there was a postseason ban there. And it's my understanding, if you have a postseason ban, you can't play for a national championship, and if a team wins a conference, like especially the SEC, there's a very good chance that you're going to be in the college football playoff. So if Mizzou actually were to pull that off, that would likely be the story of the decade, if not more, for college football. A team that can be that good and have, you know, one tutor that messes up their national championship chances. So we'll see how that story unfolds, but regardless, I think the game against Arkansas should be pretty good this year. Let's talk a little bit about cord cutting. I know that's kind of a popular topic at the moment. A lot of people are kind of considering it. Maybe a lot of people have already cut the cord. And of course, when I say that, what I'm referring to is kind of moving away from having your contracts that you signed to get your cable, like AT&T or DirecTV Satellite or Comcast or all those types of companies that you sign up for a contract and, you know, it's a great price for the first 6 months, and then 7 months it goes up, and then by year two it's double what you were paying last year, and you're sitting there extremely frustrated. You're in a 24-month contract. Anyways, I think the main appeal with cord cutting is moving away from all that contract mumbo jumbo and just getting free of it all. And I would recommend it for people. I know that in my family, we've made that decision and never looked back. In fact, I think it's kind of past the point now of getting really super good deals on cord cutting. A few years ago, they were actually giving away a lot of free devices and equipment for a lot of these streaming services if you signed up for them. I checked today and I can't really find a lot of those great deals anymore, so it might be past that point, but I still think it's worth it for most people. And so today I wanted to talk about the five biggest players in that market. Maybe it's a brand new thing for you. Maybe you've kind of considered it but don't know a lot about it. Maybe you already are a cord cutter and just are thinking again, like, hey, I've had this same service for a while. Maybe I should jump to something else. Maybe something else is having a really good deal. So I'm going to lay out the five different key players there that allow for streaming live television. And this conversation will be focused on an Arkansas Razorback fan. So essentially, you're going to want to have the SEC network. Pretty much, if you get the SEC network and most of the live local channels like NBC and CBS, you're going to catch every Arkansas Razorback game. So that's the goal here. When I look through this list, of course, there's millions of options, but I wanted to think, okay, if somebody wanted to watch every Razorback game, what package would I have to buy from each of these streaming services, and how much would that cost, and which one's the best, and all that good stuff. So I'm going to lay that out for you. Hopefully you find some value here. All right, so let's start with the cheapest option, and that is actually Sling TV. So Sling was the first taste that I had in cord cutting because it's the cheapest. And when I cut the cord, you know, it seemed like a great deal. I think at the time it was like $20. It's actually still $20. They have some different packages though now. They've kind of split it apart and you have to kind of choose your package. I believe they have a orange and a blue package there. And so if you are wanting Razorback games, you're going to want Sling Orange, and you're actually going to have to add a $10 add-on pack to that. So it's going to be $35 to move to Sling. And like I said, Sling was my first taste into cord cutting. One of the major, major drawbacks with Sling, though, is that you don't get any of your local channels. So in order to get your your ABC, your CBS, your NBC, your Fox, you're going to have to get an external antenna and put it up in your window. And those aren't too expensive. I think you can get really decent ones for 40 or 50 bucks even. They sit in your window and go to... But a lot of people don't want to have to deal with that. I mean, it's free TV. And actually, when I did that, it actually came through really clear and it was a great signal. In fact, I think what I was getting from my external antenna was even better than what I get picture-wise than streaming services, but that's kind of beside the point. Sling is great because it's the cheapest, but again, you know, you are running the risk of missing a few televised games on NBC or CBS. Yeah, right now, you're already likely going to miss that Mizzou game with this Sling package unless you put up that external antenna because it's going to be on CBS on Friday, November 29th. So, in a way, I probably shouldn't even recommend that one, but hey, it's still there. It's the cheapest option, and I think you can get a deal on like some kind of Roku device as well, but ultimately, I wouldn't necessarily recommend that one, and to be honest, compared to some of the other ones that I've used, it's a little bit more clunky. So let's move on to our next option here, and it's actually going to be one that I've never tried before, but it's the most expensive on the list, and that's PlayStation View. I'm sure plenty of people out there have PlayStations, PlayStations 3, 4. It also runs on other devices too, so PlayStation View isn't only for PlayStation owners, if that makes sense, but it's package that would include the SEC network that you would need to watch games actually is $55. So this is the most expensive one on the list. Not that much more than the other ones, but still it's more expensive. And honestly, I can't find any compelling reason above the other competitors to pay that extra money for it. So that's that. I really don't know why you would choose that option, to be honest. Maybe you just are really a big PlayStation fanboy and want to keep with that. But hey, to each their own. Moving on next, I'm actually going to go to the one that I currently have and I've had for almost a year now, I think, maybe even more than a year, and that's YouTube TV. Currently, it is $50 a month, and I really like it. It has been no hiccups with the service. I highly recommend it. In fact, I think I'm probably an advocate for it. Because when I signed up, you actually got a Apple 4K TV if you signed up for like 3 months or something, and it was just a great deal. And I'm still really happy with the service. It slowly crept up by, I think, $5 increments over the course of time, but I get all the channels I want. It works great, and I would highly recommend YouTube TV. Definitely check that one out. Next up on the list, we've got Hulu Plus Live TV, and this one is actually $5 cheaper than YouTube TV. It comes in at $45 a month, and honestly, for me, looking at my zip code where I currently live, I get the exact same channels. I would get the exact same channels with Hulu Live TV that I currently get with YouTube TV, and it's $5 cheaper, so that one actually kind of caught my attention. I didn't realize I could maybe save $5 and switch over to Hulu Live TV. But the only big drawback I could see was that they do put a limit on your DVR with that system. I think it's something like 100 hours. With YouTube TV, you get unlimited DVR, and it's kind of unique. I know coming from cable, you know, typically DVR works where if, you know, you can set it to record while you're gone, but let's say, you know, there's some kind of interruption in the service. Let's say there's like a cloud that rolls by if you have satellite and the signal doesn't quite come through. Well, your DVR didn't pick that up right. It won't record. Well, with a lot of these streaming services, they work more, it's more cloud-based. So for instance, with YouTube TV, it's almost like when I push record, it's like it's not recording what's actually on my TV or what's actually coming to my devices. It's more like it puts a pin or like a bookmark into the server somewhere so that if I ever want to come back in the future, I can just watch it. It's like it's saved on a server somewhere, and this just me quote unquote recording it just gives me access to it. So nothing is saved actually on any of my devices. I'm guessing that Hulu Live TV works similarly, but for some reason they do put a 100-hour limit on you. You can pay more to make that unlimited, but I don't know. There is a compelling reason to maybe move to Hulu, $5 a month cheaper, but ultimately I'm still happy with YouTube, so I think I'm going to stick with what I've got. And our final player in the cord-cutting arena is now called AT&T Now. This used to be called DirecTV Now. Of course, they've merged companies. And it is a $50 a month option as well. So as you can tell, you know, kind of reflecting through the five here, Sling was the cheapest at $35. PlayStation View was the most at $55. But the other ones are $45 or $50. So you kind of get a good feel for that price range. The positives for AT&T TV Now, other than it having a really annoying name to say out loud, is that for that $50, you actually get HBO included. That's a pretty big bonus, because I think for a lot of other places, if you want to add HBO to something, it normally costs $10, $15, or $20. So having that included in that $50, that's pretty nice. So if you're an HBO subscriber, that this option might work really well for you. Also, something else that you get with AT&T TV Now that the other ones don't have is you actually get both Nickelodeon and Disney Channel. I know that that might not be pertinent to a lot of people on the call, but for those with kids, yes, you know what I'm saying. Getting the Paw Patrol on Nickelodeon is super nice. But the one drawback for AT&T TV Now that I could find is that for me, and this is different for everyone, you would only know if you go in and put in your zip code into their system and check it out yourself, but I would not get the local ABC channel if I went AT&T TV Now. I don't know why, but I would have to hook up an external antenna to my house or whatever to get ABC. And for me, you know, I don't know about y'all, but my wife, she likes some shows on there, Bachelor, Bachelorette, all that good stuff. And there's some other good TV shows on there too. But anyways, I won't be moving to AT&T TV Now because of that lack of the one local channel for me. Now, you could look at your channels and they could all be there. So I would definitely check that one out first if I were new to this, and just see what local channels you would get. You know, most people want to get ABC, NBC, CBS, and Fox. You know, if you get those four local channels, you're gold. And then, of course, if you have other interests, maybe like for me, I'm a big Nashville Predators fan, and so getting Fox Sports South or Fox Sports Tennessee is really important. And most of these services do include that, but you just want to make sure you check all that. So I would say for me, the best option right now, again, is that YouTube TV that I currently have. I think AT&T TV Now could be compelling for most people. Sling, if you're really on a budget, hey, and don't really care about the local channels, go Sling Orange. Ultimately, I hope, you know, this kind of helps you out in your decision-making process. Of course, you need good internet for any of these options to make sense. Hopefully, you do have that already. And you have to have a device that can basically download the app and run it, which I think most people at this stage do have a smart TV that can run it, or an Apple TV or a Roku or some device that can have it, or like a PlayStation or Xbox. But if you're just running off your smart TV for these types of apps, you might just want to double check that you can actually download them, because some smart TVs can't download a plethora of apps, some limit it. So just check for yourself, check your setup, and you know, if this meets your needs, go for it. For me, cord cutting has been awesome. And for our final topic of the night, I want to talk about, as always, every week, the famous Arkansan of the week. Oh, Arkansas. Oh, Arkansas. Arkansas, USA. Oh, Arkansas. Oh, Arkansas. And this week, I'm going a little bit different again, and actually am highlighting a thing that was invented in Arkansas, and that thing is the Bowie knife. Now, this actually, there's conflicting stories here, but the Arkansas Museum, they have claimed that the Bowie knife was invented in Arkansas. You know, other people want to say that Jim Bowie's brother did, but whatever. We're going with the Arkansas Museum's recollection here. You know, we're going to claim it for us for this podcast intents and purposes. So this knife was invented in the 1830s by a guy named James Black, and this was in Washington, Arkansas. So I had to look that up. I'm not sure where Washington, Arkansas is. It is northwest of Hope, Arkansas, which is the hometown of another famous Arkansan, and that's kind of in the southwest part of the state. Now, if you don't know what a Bowie knife is, of course you can always Google it. It, you know, it's to me kind of the iconic knife when you think of like Crocodile Dundee, or, you know, I'm sure that a lot of people who don't know much about knives, me included, I could even be saying this wrong. Maybe there are more details or specifics here, but you just think of a big knife that can cut open, you know, like a butcher knife, that kind of thing. That's typically considered a Bowie knife. It's just a big knife. I remember this NES game when I was a kid called Bayou Billy, and on the front he had this big Bowie knife, so that's what I think of too. But Jim Bowie, who the knife is named after, is actually a really funny, interesting guy. Most people know him from dying at the Alamo. I think he was just kind of sick, to be honest, when he died there, but I guess he died a hero. We'll say that. I think he got sick or was bedridden at the time of the fighting, but regardless, this knife became really popular through a duel that took place down in Louisiana, where Jim Bowie actually took out a knife like this and did some pretty crazy stuff with it. So the story goes, there was this man named Norris Wright who had beef. He had beef with Jim Bowie. And apparently they were both kind of running for mayor of a town. And I think this Norris Wright guy was, he was a bank guy. And he didn't give Jim Bowie a loan and just had some beef there. And apparently, you know, as was custom back in the day in the early 1800s, you want to do a duel when you get mad at a guy. That blows my mind too, by the way, that they used to duel back in the day. But anyways, you know, apparently they had kind of a duel where Wright fired a shot at Bowie, and apparently nothing really came of that. But Jim Bowie decided, hey, from here on out, I'm always carrying a big knife with me at all times. So the following year, on September 19th of 1827, apparently Bowie and Wright were attending a duel, and this was in Natchez, Mississippi. It wasn't their duel, but they were kind of watching it and supporting the two opposing duelists there. So the duelists each fired shots at each other, and yet neither of those guys hit each other, and the duel was kind of resolved with a handshake, so all was good. But apparently because of all this beef, Bowie and Wright couldn't let it go, so they kind of get in their own little scuffle here, and just craziness breaks out. So apparently Jim Bowie gets shot at, and he gets hit in the hip. And so he pulls out his knife, his Bowie knife that he's got, I guess, in his pocket or on him somehow, and he charges the person who attacks him. And the person who attacked him smacks Bowie over the head with an empty pistol, breaks his pistol. So that must have been a pretty hard smack, and knocks Bowie to the ground. At that point, that's where Wright steps in and decides, hey, I'm going to shoot at Bowie while he's on the ground. And of course, he shoots and misses him. Don't know how that's possible. I know guns weren't as good back then. But of course, then Bowie returns fire and possibly hits Wright. So now it's just chaos. People are shooting each other. It's nuts. So Wright has what they call a sword cane, which is kind of what you think of. I don't know. I feel like we've seen movies where it's like a cane, but you pull off the end and it's like a kind of a skinny or slim sword in it. And Wright straight up impaled Bowie with it. No other way of phrasing it. He sticks it right through him. And apparently, you know, I just can't even imagine this. It's so unbelievable to me. Apparently, Wright tries to pull his sword back out of Bowie. And as he's doing so, Bowie is able to grab his Bowie knife and just fillet Wright, you know, as he's standing there and kind of disembowels him. And then it's just instant death to Wright. And just bad. It's just bad. And, you know, apparently Wright's sword is sticking out of his chest this whole time. So, you know, Bowie's Bowie's just being crazy. Apparently, he was shot again and stabbed by another person. And somehow, the doctor who was present, I guess there's doctors present typically at these duels, he was able to remove the bullets and was able to patch up Bowie, and he survived. So, you know, it's no wonder, I guess, that later on in life, he would get sick easily. You know, maybe there were some infections and things like that weren't really ever healed well. But, hey, man, hundreds of years ago, that was a different time, folks. And anyways, I guess thanks to an invention, a knife invented in Arkansas, Jim Bowie had his new weapon of choice, and that became famous from then on there. Apparently, it also kind of picked up another name back in that time called the Arkansas toothpick. I can only imagine that was because, you know, back in the 1830s, Arkansas was pretty much frontier land for the United States, and I'm guessing people were kind of scraggly and rough, and they probably took their big knives and, like, picked their teeth with it and stuff like that. So, anyways, this knife apparently became really popular even across seas in England and was produced there. But that's the famous Arkansan of the week, Bowie knife. Well, all right, folks, that's everything I have for you today. Thanks so much for listening. Follow the podcast on Twitter at humble_podcast. I'd love to have more people following there. Also, have kind of gotten my Instagram up and running a little bit more, so you can find Hard to Be Humble Podcast there. Feel free to contact me on any social media platforms. I would love to interact with you. Love to hear your thoughts, opinions. I've also created a new phone number that you can text and or call directly. It's not my direct cell phone number, but it's basically a virtual number where you can call and leave a voicemail to me. And I would love for you to call in, leave your thoughts, leave your opinions there on that voicemail, and I'll play them on the show if I think they're good or valuable to the audience. So that phone number that you can call or text, and this is also in my Twitter bio. So if you ever needed this, feel free to find me on Twitter and find it there. But the phone number is 615-392-0107. Again, the phone number is 615-392-0107. Again, feel free to call that, leave a voicemail. You can also text it, which is kind of cool too. I'll get those as well. And I would love to hear from you. But I do want to leave one final message with you today on this great Monday. As the great Mac Davis taught us so long ago, it can be really hard to be humble, especially when you're an Arkansas Razorback fan. Thank you all again. Have a great week and beat Portland State. Woo pig.